Welcome back to Believers Academy and the series, The Secret to a Successful Family. We're so happy you've joined us. My name is Joy, and I'm looking forward to what Kelly Copeland has to share with us. This lesson is a great teaching on how to receive your place in Christ. Did you know you personally have a place in Christ? Having a place in Christ means having a new identity in Him, an identity that He paid for with His life. This identity gives you His right standing with God the Father, which includes His authority, His health, His well-being, His blessing, His inheritance, and His abundant life. It's your place and no one can take it away from you. Now feel free to pause or rewind this teaching at any time to make sure that you learn every important truth. And don't forget the study materials are ready for you to download. We've put together a quick study guide, an action plan, and even a review so you can quiz yourself. Let's jump right into it and join Kelly.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kelly Copeland Swisher and I'm really happy to be here with you this week. We had a great week in the Word last week. We're talking about driving strife and division out of our families. We're talking about walking in love. And this is something I believe everybody needs to hear and needs to keep themselves refreshed on, because Satan is trying to bring division in families, in churches. It's just very evident if you look around. And many times you get a strong family of you get a strong word church, you get a strong word family. They are doing their best to do what God has called them to do. And this sometimes is the only way Satan has been successful in getting in and having a foothold. But we're not giving him a foothold at all in the name of Jesus, because where there's strife, there's confusion and every evil work. And we're not having that. Amen? So let's get right into the Word. I believe the Lord will help us to see exactly what we need to see today. I want to pick up with, I've been trying to really talk about being receiving forgiveness. Step one in this process of having restoration in your family or in relationships is, number one, acknowledge God. And there's several parts to that. You can go to kcm.org and catch up with us if you are just now tuning in. Step two is repent, receive forgiveness, forgive others, and receive His grace to fix the situation. That's kind of a four-part step, I guess. But it's all contingent. You know, you need to forgive. Or you need to repent. And you need to forgive to be forgiven, the Word says. So you can't expect God to forgive you, yet you won't forgive others. You know how I know that? Because Jesus Himself said that. And so I think we better take that as not just somebody's opinion, but that is the way things work. Listen, God loves you. He doesn't even view you as being in sin. He views you as free. But now you have to decide to receive that and accept that to literally be free. But He sees you as free, and that's an important distinction, because so many people think, well, God sees me as a sinner. No, the only person that sees you as a sinner is you, because God sees you as free. So let's get into the Word and see some things that He says about forgiving and forgiveness, and see what He thinks about it. Colossians 3. You know what? Yesterday I didn't read verse 1, but let's go to verse 1 because this is so important. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. This is so good for us. You know, we talked last week about receiving as Jesus prayed in the Lord's Prayer. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We talked about that. This is what it's talking about. Receive into your life by faith the things that heaven has decreed about you. Heaven has decreed that you're free from sin, that you're whole, that you're healed. But you know what? At the same time, here's how this can help you deal with somebody else. Heaven has decreed that they're free. So who are you to hold something against that person when heaven has decreed it? So by your making yourself line up with God's will, with God's plan, your plan is going to be all about bringing that person into the restoration and into the freedom that God has. Even if it feels so easy to just, you just want to hate their guts because they were so mean to you. Well, you can't do that. You can take no account done wrong to you, 1 Corinthians 13 says. Why? If you're going to live like Jesus, if you're going to think like Jesus, if you're going to have what he says you can have, then you're going to have to think, and as the word says, have the same attitude as Christ. Have the same attitude as he does. And so how you do it is you set your mind on the realities of heaven, not just thinking, oh, heaven's going to be wonderful. That's not what that means. In heaven, think about, just spend 5 minutes today sometime. Think about, take your situation. You can even do this on paper. Maybe this is good homework. Think about your situation for a few minutes and what it looks like. And if you want to write it down, write it down. But think about it for a few minutes and set it over here. Then think about, what is the reality of that situation, or what is the reality in my life in heaven? What if I were in heaven today? What would happen to this situation? Well, you'd have to say, well, I know I can't be mad at that person anymore in heaven. That wouldn't work. Satan's not there to influence him or me, so that doesn't work. Think about the reality of heaven, how things are in heaven, and then make a decision. I'm not going to think about this anymore. I'm going to keep my eyes on how things are in heaven. I'm going to receive by faith how things are in heaven to come to pass here on earth. I just think that's such a great scripture. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of the earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death, this is our job, put to death the sinful earthly things lurking. I love that word, lurking. What is lurking inside of you? Ask the Lord to say, Lord, this would be a funny prayer, I guess, but Lord, what is lurking inside of me? You know, you just picture something trying to hide, lurking in the dark, they say. Something trying to hide. It's Satan trying to hide an activity, a way of thought, a way of reacting. Sometimes we react to people and things without thinking about it, we'll react in a certain way that is not the love of God. And if we aren't on purpose trying to think about the things of heaven and put aside those things, then we'll just let ourselves go with it. For instance, let's say there's somebody and you've really had to work to forgive them. I mean, we shouldn't have to work. If we're working to forgive them, then we're not doing it with the love of God and by faith. I'm not saying it's always easy, but don't make sure that when you're forgiving someone, you're not trying to work that in yourself. Do you understand the distinction? Make sure that you're forgiving by the power of the Spirit of God inside of you. Do it by faith in Him, not by faith in you. I hope that's clear what I'm saying about the distinction between those two. So when you forgive somebody, you've forgiven them by faith. You've done it. You look in the Word of God right here. It's going to say we have to forgive. Find a scripture or two like that where the Word of God is telling you to do this. And then you say, by faith, I obey God's Word and I forgive this person. With the Spirit of God and the Spirit of love on this inside of me, because you first forgave me, Lord, I forgive them. Okay, so you've done that. And then, a week or two later, that person's name comes up, or you see them, and your inside just goes, ugh, I don't want to talk to them, I don't want to see them, or their name comes to your mind, and you're like, you know what? You think negative thoughts about them, in other words. That's a lurking. If you didn't know what a lurking thing was, that's something lurking inside of you that if you're not on top of it and you're not aware of it, you'll just let it go by and you'll feel that way and you'll let the devil steal the forgiveness that you on purpose planted 2 weeks before. So it says, put to death or kill those things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of the world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language. Don't lie to each other. These are all strife causers, all these things. For you have stripped off your old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. Be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. How are you going to learn to know God? By walking in love. That's how you know God. That's how people know that you know God, is when you walk in love. That's what the book of John tells us. Because it says, become like Him. Verse 12. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Here it is in black and white. The Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And it says, make allowances for each other's faults. You know, people have to put up with you and whatever negative things are about you. People have to put up with me. I need to put up with what other people are dealing with in their faults. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you're called to live in peace. I love down in verse 17, we must read this. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. I want you to think about that really hard for just a minute. You know, maybe your family situation is with one of your children or with your spouse, or maybe even the person that is in your mind right now that you're dealing with doesn't even know the Lord. But however you respond to them is how they're going to see Jesus. So if they find unforgiveness in you, they are not going to find, it's going to be difficult for them to think of Jesus as being forgiven, forgiving. Just stop everything, put it away from yourself, and be Jesus to people. You know, that corrects a whole lot of stuff. There's only certain things you can do and say if you're going to represent Jesus well. And remember what Jesus said? This is His whole attitude. See, we're supposed to look at Jesus and do what He says for us to do. He said in John 15, the same way that He looks at His Father and He does and says what His Father says to do, we are to look at Him and stay in Him, abide in Him, follow His commandment to love. And He does that with His Father. So His Father tells Him to walk in love or to do this or that or the other. He has to do it. Why? Because He knows that He is representing His Father. And that's what we need to do. We do everything that we do as a representation of Jesus and of His love. So I think that's so good. Okay, let's keep going now. Let's look in Ephesians 1, verse 4. Even before He made the world. Now listen, this is how God feels about you. And this is how we must be with other people. Even before He made the world, God loved us. Even before He made the world, God loved you. And chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. And of course, it goes on to talk about He purchased us, our freedom. He showered us with kindness. He showered us, in verse 8 it says, along with all wisdom and understanding. Wisdom and understanding belongs to you. This says He showered it on us. But I want to back up just for a minute. And we're talking about here how God sees us and how we need to see people. And we can. We can by faith see people the way God sees them. God sees us, He said here, holy and without fault in His eyes. But you know how many people has that kept out of the kingdom of God, thinking God sees me as a sinner? And that's the farthest thing from what the Bible says. But why do people think that? Could it be because somebody said to them, you're a horrible sinner and God hates horrible sinners? I mean, think about that for a minute. People's attitudes about God, by and large, come from what somebody else said to them, what somebody else did to them, how somebody else portrayed God. And you and I need to repent. You know, the Word says there are people whose actions show that they're really enemies to the cross. People that are supposed to be on God's side. People that are supposed to be part of His team and a partner with Him, reconciling people to God. And yet their actions push people away from the cross. You and I just need to be done with that. We're done with that in the name of Jesus. God, You use me to bring people to You. Even the people that I know that have been unlovely to me, Lord, You've already forgiven them, so I forgive them. Think about that. One day, my dad came into the we were gathered together for something, Christmas or some, you know, family thing. And he looked at us and he said, to all of us, he said, I find no fault in you. You know, that's a powerful thing for a dad or a mom to say to their kids. It's a powerful thing for kids to say to their parents. It's a powerful thing for husbands and wives to say to each other. If you're sitting there watching this with each other or family members or friends, just look at them right now and say, you know what? I find no fault in you. It's so powerful. If God finds no fault in me, then who are you to find fault in me? And if God finds no fault in you, who am I to find fault in you? Do you see how us making ourselves get into God's way of thinking on this can transform relationships? That's a very powerful truth right there. Forgiveness, receiving forgiveness, and forgiving others changes things, and it can change things very quickly. Let me look at my notes and see if I've left anything out of all of that. Hebrews, I want to go to Hebrews here in a minute, but I want to point something out to you about being judgmental. Help me, Lord. One of the things I believe about being what they call, or I even would call, a word person. Okay, as a word person, I consider myself to be a word person. You may too, you probably do. Where the Word is at the center of my life, it's where I receive my instruction, it's what I look, it's the Word of God and what He tells me here, as well as what He tells me in my heart and how He leads me, is how I am determined to live my life. Am I perfect? No, but I'm a whole lot more perfect than I would be trying to do everything on my own. But my endeavor and my life is about His Word. And you would probably say the same thing. Now, I think one of the temptations in that, and this is, like I said earlier, Satan's going to try to get in there. If you're a word person and determined to do what God says, he'll try to make you be judgmental about somebody else who's not doing the word. And that is a tricky place to if you step into it. And it's such an easy place because the word, and I think when somebody follows the word and they do the word, they're a doer of the word, that the result of that is you see that the word works. And it becomes such a drive in you to tell people the word and that it works. And so you'll see somebody's life and you can see that they're not doing the word and you can see that things aren't working for them and you just want to fix them, right? And you want to fix things. So it's a sense of helping them. It can begin as a sense of helping them, and the Lord can help you help them. I'm not saying don't help people, but watch your motive. Watch your attitude and watch out that you don't let the enemy and the division come in and become judgmental of that person. Because that's the line right there that Jesus is all about helping people and teaching people, but he did not judge people. And we have to keep that out of our lives too. You know, I was preaching to a group of women this last year, and I was thinking about, before I got in there and was preaching to them, I was thinking, you know, I was reading in there about from Titus, and it talks to the older women about teaching the younger women, and then it starts talking about not being drunkards or slanderous. And I thought, why does it address older women and warn them about don't start drinking and don't be slanderous? And I thought, well, you know, when you've raised your kids and you're done, so to speak, with that busyness of life, you have a whole lot of time to think about other people. And you could either get depressed because your life is not as full as it was and you don't have a lot of action going on, so maybe people start drinking, I don't know. But you also could get judgmental of other people and start looking at their life and thinking, well, I would do it this way. Well, I wouldn't raise my kids that way. I'd do it such and such a way. And it's just a very easy place. When in all actuality, the way you're supposed to teach the younger women is to, if you look in that verse in Titus, be a good mother, be a good wife, care about your family. What is it saying? Walk in love. Walking in love is the best teacher. The Holy Spirit, through you, leading you, can help you to minister to younger women, or if you're a male, minister to younger men, in a way that's so powerful, but not judgmental. Because you know what? We are not the judge. We are the love of God. Amen. And God wants to use us to draw people to us so that we can lead them to Him.
All right. This is the end of lesson 2. Did you get something out of it? This series is full of wisdom for you to work with God to cultivate a successful family. Let me remind you of the free downloads on your screen. Print and use them to help and encourage you as you begin to enjoy success in your family. Now, tune in for lesson 3. Kelly will be going deeper on showing love to your family. I know we all need to hear that. We look forward to studying together again. Until then, have a wonderful day, and remember, Jesus is Lord.